I feel like we should decide who is who in the TMNT universe.
100%. That was going to be my lead in, obviously.
I think that the two easy ones.
Russ is Krang.
Russ is Krang.
Oh,
the bodiless. The bodiless brain.
Because I'm so smart?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was either that or Baxter, for what it's worth.
I want to be Casey Jones.
No, Griffin, you're not cool enough.
No, but I want to be Casey Jones, please. He's so fucking cool.
How many shirts do you have where the sleeves are completely ripped off?
I don't even have sleeves on any of my shirts anymore.
Yeah, I've got to put some boundaries here. I think we have to pick between the turtles.
Okay.
I mean, there are four turtles and there are four of us.
Yeah. Really limiting. I was going to go Usagi Yojimbo. But, okay.
I would say, Russ, I would say is a... who's the Donatello? Let's start there. Because I think it's either Russ or Chris is the Donatello, sort of the brainiac of the group.
I think it's got to be Chris Plant is Donatello.
I would say Chris is the
Donatello.
Because
of his Criterion Collection fascination, which is basically like...
Justin is the Michelangelo.
I'm the Michelangelo. This is really easy, guys, and you're kind of pissing me off.
Okay.
Plant is Leonardo. Frustic is Donatello. Griffin is Raphael.
Yeah.
I'm Michelangelo. Like, it's not slam dunk.
Can you explain?
No question.
Yeah, please.
What?
Explain.
Yeah, okay.
Justin parties.
I party.
Sure, that's easy.
That's easy.
Griffin does have a rude tune, right?
Does. Like, sometimes.
It doesn't come out all the time, but it's there.
Yeah.
Russ is kind of more erudite.
A fucking dork. A fucking dork, basically.
And like, Plant is like a steady hand. Like, he's like.
And I have like a lot of swords.
And he has two swords.
And I'm like a big rabbit.
What?
So I'm also Usagi Yojimbo. Like, I feel like I should have, we could have, you know, two.
Sure.
Two of them. We got to all be second.
Okay. Then
too.
Can my second one be Baxter Stockman? The one that's just the fly?
I was going to go Baxter, personally, because I wear a lot of sweater
vests. Oh, yeah. You kind of look like Baxter.
Yeah.
Does this make Spotify the ooze? My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best games of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, I know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know a really great game this week.
My name is Russ Frostrick, and I know the best game of the week.
Hello, and welcome to The Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. It's a video game club, my friend, and just by listening, you are a member. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to have you here with us. As we talk about... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. This is, of course, an original IP. Where do they get these ideas? For fighting turtles? Come on. Well, now I've seen everything. Now, what is it, Chris? You got to help
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge is the latest beat-em-up in a long lineage of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles beat-em-ups. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, originally an indie comic book that got turned into a TV show, now feels like one of those secret, low-key, massive properties that just never went away. But people are kind of like, hey, is that still a thing? And then you talk to any child, and they're like, yeah, it's still a thing.
It's 100% still very much a thing. We are going to talk about this new entry, sort of a kiss of the past and a kiss of the present.
Ooh.
Right, as soon as we get
a lot of kissing.
A lot of kissing in this one. Way more than you expect. All right, we'll be right back.
Before we get started on discussing the game itself, can I clarify some lore aspects to the TMNT universe?
Please.
I would love that.
I don't have the answer to these questions. My understanding... Okay. But Plant and I were disagreeing about this while we were playing multiplayer. My understanding is that the Ninja Turtles, titular Ninja Turtles, were turtles and they touched the ooze and then they became super powered turtles, but they were never at any time human people.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Now,
yes.
We turn to Splinter, their fearless rat leader and trainer.
Was a human. Yes.
In the in the intro, I guess, credits of the cartoon that we're all familiar with from the 80s and 90s, he was a human and he got transformed into a rat person?
That is correct, yes. The ooze transform, canonically, the ooze transforms you into whatever animal you had been most recently or most notably in contact with. Splinter had pet rats, and so he turned into a rat. The turtles had been owned by people, so they turned into half people.
Oh,
interesting.
I did not know that.
Shredder had been like a cheese grater.
Shredder is not a mutant.
No.
Please don't embarrass.
He just wears a
mask. But wait. He becomes a mutant later, though, doesn't he? In the movies?
He does. That is true.
Don't you
tell me what happens Justin. in the I mean, you might as well look to like the pudding pies for like canonical information.
Okay, clarified.
Some lore for the game now, though. This was made by Tribute Games, who has done a lot of really great stuff. Mercenary Kings, Wizorb, the like pixel work reminded me a lot of Paul Robertson, who did all the stuff for those games. And that's because he is there at Tribute Games. And also it reminded me of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and Tribute Games was formed out of a lot of people who worked on that title, which is one of the best, I would say, beat 'em ups in the biz.
It's really, this genre, it's really interesting. I was thinking about it because we have a barcade here in Huntington, and they have they have a lot of these like classic wide four player beat 'em up things. And I was playing actually the Simpsons of all things with my daughter. And I was thinking about how like a lot of those games do not hold up. And when you see a lot of these like retro, like let's just make another classic like that game used to be. What you end up with is something that's like interesting, but maybe not as like doesn't really stand up with like modern game mechanics or like. It's very interesting that this genre, this like gameplay genre, is just fun. Like, it's fun now, it's fun then. Like, it's still fun to play a beat 'em up with people.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't need a lot of like modern like touch up. And this game does have some, we'll talk about it. But like, this formula just works. Like, it just works. And it hasn't been a massive part, I think, of like modern gaming landscape. Like, it just kind of worked from the jump.
Yeah, I think that's true. To kind of get into this game, the Simpsons game that you played and the original Ninja Turtles arcade game were both made by Konami. And I think the thing that they got right, especially for arcades, is it's all about the vibe. Like,
yeah.
So much animation. It looks like the cartoon that you're playing. The music's killer. They get the vibe right. The actual combat in those games, not great,
right?
But kind of like, who cares? You're hanging out with your friends and you're really only there to see what happens next. And then I think there were other beat 'em ups that kind of went the opposite, where they had really interesting combat, but they didn't have, I guess, a great like licensee or the vibe just wasn't there. What makes this game, I think, just perfect is it does both. The vibe is right and it just feels so good to fight in this game.
Can I talk about sort of the evolution that exists in this game that I feel like makes it so I let me start out by saying I adore this game. I played it by myself on the Steam Deck on a flight, and then when I got home, I bought it on Switch so that me and Henry could play it together, and we played through like half the game yesterday.
It's really good. I'm always looking for good games with kids. This is a really good one.
The holy trinity of like arcade Konami beat 'em ups of like X-Men, Simpsons, and TMNT are all very similar and all very, like Justin said, like accessible and just fun from the start. But they were arcade games first and foremost. So defense was never the order of the day in those games, right? It was a good defense is your, I mean, an offense is the only defense that you had in those games where you just had
it's to a beat 'em up, not an avoid getting beaten 'em up by
others. But that is by design because you know, Nightcrawler gets knocked out. You put another quarter in the Nickelodeon, and then you keep on going. It's a profit deal. This game, I would say, adds a lot of, I would say, mechanical, not complexity, but just like opportunity for players who want to use that stuff. There is a dodge button that is like huge, and they have, and it's not just a purely like get out of the way of an attack button. Like it's a thing you can string together with combos. I was a little worried at first because the game starts out by showing you like this 21 step like
that part is
tutorial
bad.
Demo.
If I may be so bold, the tutorial thing that they do, they literally show you every move in the game.
Yeah.
In a long string with I was really put off by that.
I didn't like see this because the way I started was playing with Frush.
Oh, okay.
And it like skipped that for me. So
yeah,
I feel like
you just joined
that version of the experience.
Yeah, there's a lot more going on here than those old games. Like you can charge up an attack to break a shield, or you can do a jumping attack, you can do a double jumping attack, you can do like a dodge cancel. There's like a super meter that you charge up to like use a super strong attack, or once you've leveled your character up enough, they can like use it to go into like turbo ninja mode.
Yeah, but I would say
share
like
health with each other.
There's a lot, but I would also add a lot before you get intimidated by this list. Like realistically, if you play on the ultra hard difficulty setting, yeah, probably a lot of this stuff or all of it might be required. But if you play on normal or even easy, you know, as Griffin can attest, like a kid can play with you and have a really, really fun time just using the basic attacks and stuff like that.
There's a punch button and a kick button.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
My four-year-old played with us and we did fine. I mean, fuck, you can play with a Joy-Con. Like, that should tell you everything you need to know.
But I really enjoyed it because I adore those old beat 'em ups, but also it's really frustrating when you get combo womboed by a couple members of the Foot Clan and just like cannot get out of this like stun lock animation that just knocks you the hell out. And in this game, you have lots of different ways of keeping it spicy, which is good because beat 'em ups I think tend to get, if they don't have I would say like Castle Crashers has really great progression hooks that kind of pull you through. And if they don't have something like that, they get really samey. But this game, I think, evades that because you have like a lot of different ways to approach any fight, which is not something I knew I needed from this genre. But this game, I think, provides it.
And the characters feel different.
They do, yeah.
So that helps, too, that there are, like, many characters to choose from, including all four of your favorite turtles. But then, like, Casey Jones, April O'Neil, Splinter, like...
Would have loved Venus. Would have loved, just for my own personal situation, would have loved two female characters. Because the fight that ensued over April O'Neil, not pleasant in my home.
Yeah, I guess Irma could have been in there. She is in the game.
She is in there. She is, it's like a bat. Yeah, there's a lot in here for people who know a bunch of shit about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I do not. But, like, I opened up a door, and some frogman popped out, and it was like, you can do missions for this frogman. I was like, I don't know. Is that Battletoads?
The great thing about the way they've done the pixel art is it's hard to distinguish between, hey, that's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stuff when I was a kid, and hey, that's Nickelodeon era Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stuff. It all looks the
same. But then they also tie it back together with, like, the games. So there's, like, Turtles in Time is my favorite of the old beat-em-ups, and there are some, like, time travel elements. There's one part where one of the bosses comes out of an arcade machine and then summons bosses from, I think, either TMNT or Manhattan Project. Was that one of the games? Anyway, and seeing that stuff, like, sure enough, was enough for me to be like, oh yeah, it's those guys. I know those guys.
Yeah, well, I think the movie villains show up too.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Man,
it looks so good. Like, it looks so great. And it is one of those, that is one of those things, as somebody who's like recently just looking at some of these games, like it really does, it's that thing of like, it doesn't look how it used to. It looks like you remember it looking like it has that amount of like color and depth and fluidity in the animations. And it's just like vibrant and looks great. Like it really stands out and feels really good.
I was going to say, and it looks like, and it feels like, in the way that Shovel Knight sort of captured that feel of a platforming game, a Mega Man from the 80s and 90s, but updated the gameplay feels like it's evolved in that same way too, where it feels authentic, even though it really isn't. It's a pretty modern recreation of that gameplay. And I think that whole ethos carries throughout, where it's very consistent tonally, but has been refined in such a way. I think from a tribute standpoint, like I've played probably all of their games, this is probably my favorite by like a good mile. I think it unifies the thing they've always done great, which is visuals, with like just incredibly strong gameplay and game design. They did a really, really good job.
Yeah, I think that sometimes their games like Flint Hook and Mercenary Kings weren't as enjoyable as the art, effectively. And then yeah. Panzer Paladin, which was their most recent game, I was weirdly kind of the opposite for me. I think that game plays amazing. I think the look is kind of like an NES D-make. It's nice. Anyway, this game, the one thing I wanted to say is talking about making it feel like what you remember. When you go back and play these old games, it's kind of like watching old cartoons where it's like, oh, we're reusing a lot of assets because we just don't have that many people or that much money to make it. It's wild here how it feels like every corner of the world that you walk around is new and original, whether that is mm-hmm. like what's happening in the background or like things the characters are doing or new enemy types showing up. There's just so much new that the only comparison I can think of is like, this is what it would feel like if a AAA publisher made a 2D pixel game, which they just haven't done. And to be clear, this isn't a AAA publisher. It's .emu or .emu, who they did Streets of Rage 4. But, I mean, they're, like, still a relatively young publisher in this world. So pretty incredible, their hit rate.
The soundtrack is out of this world.
There is Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes. So there's the, the general sort of like background music for every level has that like, I have no way of describing. I do not possess the vocabulary to describe the music of those old Konami beat 'em ups. But they're very sort of crunchy and electronic. And then you hear a song with fucking Raekwon and Ghostface Killa on it that comes out of nowhere. I think Mega Ran has a song on the soundtrack somewhere. Nice. And it is really fucking great.
And just to be clear, the Wu-Tang song is them rapping about the Ninja Turtles. Like, it's a straight up ninja rap.
It's like a movie closing credits rap in the best way.
It's so good.
I wish, if we're talking about, like, we've been very high on this game, and I am too, so I just want to mention...
Bring it down, Justin. Bring it down for us.
No. It's not bring it down. It's, notes for the future. I do wish, there's a lot of depth. It is not good, and I kind of alluded to this with, like, the list of moves. It's not great at, like, leading you towards something you may not be doing or something you may not have been utilizing if a new situation calls for it, or like helping you to sort of like develop naturally with some of these like harder areas. Like there's in the bridge, like where the first sort of like moving level where you're on a skateboard or turtle board or whatever the fuck, you know, that kind of deal. There are enemies that like really it's hard to get them if you're not doing the double jump spin attack. And like if you didn't know that was something, like if that wasn't part of your repertoire, you know, if you missed that in the first scroll of moves, it's very frustrating until I was like, okay, there's got to be something I'm doing wrong because this can't be that annoying. But like some sort of like, hey, try this, or you know, introducing those moves when it is appropriate for you to be trying them as a way to like walk you into this like fairly wide move set, it would have been, that would have been helpful. As it is, it's a little bit more trial and error than I'm
yeah, like. I do want to mention two big features that I was not expecting that I thought were tremendous. Feature A, if you play online with people, yes, there is online play, you can just jump right into the game without them. They don't need to set up like a, hey, I'm playing online or whatever. It just works.
Like just like putting in a quarter at the arcade.
Yeah.
Like
it's literally like you see a list. Here's some dudes that are playing. You want to play with these dudes? Like, yeah, sure, I'll play with these guys.
And whatever. I'm pretty sure it's cross-platform using EGS.
But it's only dudes, which is really fucking weird.
I'm using gender neutral dudes.
I'm not crazy about the like objectives that they lay out on each mission, because in each mission there are usually just three objectives, and I guess you get experience for your characters for completing them? I don't know, because I didn't complete a lot of them. Because a lot of them are like, don't get hit in the for the entire level. And it's like, what sort of fucking cyber person is capable of doing that? So just the result of that is you would just be playing and a foot soldier would throw a trash can at you, and then a big red X appears on the screen and it's like, don't get hit by trash cans. And it's like, okay, cool.
It's weird because it's cool that it's in there if you want that sort of like, you know, ongoing challenge or whatever, but like to make you feel like kind of a failure from the jump, like is kind of a weird.
Do y'all remember that one Assassin's Creed game where after every mission it graded you and said that it was like sending it to the server? It reminded me of that, where it's like, wait, why am I being told I suck?
Why am I bad?
Just for playing the game.
I'm also coming to this from fairly recently playing Castle Crashers, and I played Scott Pilgrim with Henry for a bunch. I wish that the like characters were a little bit more, or rather at all, sort of customizable in a way. And I know that's not that is the exception and not the rule for this genre. You can level up the characters depending on like your performance in any given level. You're just always sort of ranking them up, and some rank ups give you like an extra health node or an extra bar of like the ninja meter you use for the super moves. Sometimes they will, you know, unlock new like actual moves that you can weave into your moveset, and that's all very cool. I just wish that there was a little bit more of a way to tweak them in the way.
Well, it also kind of de-incentivizes like switching up your characters that too, and playing with new characters.
Yeah, I think that also is like just different inspirations. I think for Scott Pilgrim, it was a lot more like River City Ransom type of beat 'em up games, and this is obviously going for that Konami spirit. But yeah, that doesn't mean they shouldn't add it. I just think that's probably why they didn't.
I have one last thing I wanted to mention. When your buddy, if you're playing on multiplayer, goes down, loses all their health, you can revive them by holding a pizza up to them for a few seconds, and it's fucking spectacular. It's such a good...
Yeah.
Smart.
Well, and you can also, if you have a lot of health and your pal has very little, you can press a high five button, and your high fiving drains your health a little bit and like increases theirs. So you're kind of like passing off some of your. Also, can I just give like super quick credit to how many different ways they have of surfacing enemies on the screen in ways that are extremely funny.
God.
Like,
oh my
you're
God.
Constantly running, like in the park level, you just run up and like, just using that as an example, at one point you run up and there's just like 3 foot soldiers eating popsicles. And you're like, what's up guys? I'm here to kill you. Like, oh dang. Okay. And then later on, there's one just like sleeping on a bench. Just like not even sleeping, just like relaxing, like enjoying a nice pleasant day. And you're like, hey, I'm going to fight you. Like, okay, sure. Why not?
And the first level takes place in a TV studio. And like you turn a corner. Well, you don't turn a corner because it's a completely linear horizontal level. But you walk into like a new room and there's just a bunch of foot soldiers like with mixing bowls and chef hats on just doing a cooking show. It's fantastic.
At the end, when you go to fight Bebop at the end of the level, he's been wearing like a suit this entire time. And at the end of it, he rips off the suit in a way that seems to be like a grand reveal. Like it's been me, the Warthog Man, the entire time. I'm not a business executive. I'm actually a human-sized warthog.
So I guess just to sort of wrap it up, the question I would have for y'all is there a game, if someone wanted to play like a quote modern beat-em-up game, my instinct is this is the one you play because I think it's the most welcoming. The art is incredible and all the stuff we've just talked about. I mean, obviously there are great games, Castle Crashers, etc. But this seems like the one that I would just instantly recommend to basically anyone that wants to play a beat 'em up.
I think Alan could play this.
Yeah,
this game.
I mean,
and
I
have
think
a good time with it.
It feels like a high watermark for sure.
I don't know if it's the kind of game that like I'm going to be playing for a long time, but also I don't think it's obviously I prefer that type of game, but the not every game has to be like this. This is one
and
that
it
I
doesn't
will...
and it doesn't like I we should be clear, this is a very good game. It doesn't transcend genre. So like if it's not something that you would enjoy, it's not like no, you have to. You know what I mean? There's certain games like that are part of a genre that even if you don't love it, like you owe it to yourself to check it out. I would not necessarily qualify that, although if you're not 100% sure, this is a very good entry point, but it doesn't necessarily like become a universal, like, everyone must.
Yeah, it's an evolved form of the genre, basically.
Yeah.
I would love to get six people together to play this in a room, though. I bet that is a fucking hoot and disaster.
I've seen video of it. It is totally bonkers.
All right, let's take a quick break and then come back and talk about more things. Just like that's me. That's my position. That's where I'm at right now.
Everybody, I have some news. The mailbag is at capacity. We need to empty some of the mailbag or else we can never get mail again.
Oh my God.
I know, it's Chris. A real crisis.
How did you let it get to this point?
I got COVID.
That'll do.
And then it just kind of kept.
Wait a minute. I thought we had licked that. It feels like that was kind of a. Wow, you're still getting. It's almost a little retro.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That's how I am. I like to do it on my own time. So I'm gonna pop it open.
Did you get it from your Walkman?
I got it from my mini disc player.
Getting COVID, watching Teenage Ninja Turtles is a real retro kind of thing.
Okay, I'm sliding open the first envelope. This one is from Kyle Starr. Do you have any go-to palate cleanser games and or any go-to games you play when you want to play a video game but can't seem to find the right one?
This is a great question.
I mean, for me, it's Binding of Isaac. I've talked a lot about the game, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend that to everyone, but that is my go-to I don't know what else to play game.
I tend to dip back into No Man's Sky for whatever reason. Like, that is the one that I like to just kind of hop into and noodle around for a little while. I would say the one that is probably the biggest for me, just because it's on my phone and I can do it whenever I want to, is Slay the Spire. If I have nothing else to play and I'm sitting somewhere with nothing to do and I have my phone on me, it's usually Slay the Spire.
Yeah, I usually return to, like, some sort of run-based thing. Monster Train is one that is, like, you know, a lot of those run-based games are really interesting with the patches and updates and stuff, because they start to feel, like, much different, but you can still sort of, like, you know, grok back onto it pretty easily. So, yeah, usually one of those, like, Monster Train or, I guess that's the main one I do. I'll mess with, or Griftlands sometimes, because it's kind of like a self-contained story. But yeah, those run-based games I'll return to quite a bit. And every once in a while, I do reinstall You Must Build a Boat.
Oh, yeah.
Just go through it again.
That's a good one. Mine's Everyday Shooter, which I think I've talked about before. Like, wow, 2D twin stick style shooter game. Just with some great music. This one is from Jackie. How did mobile game ads get the way they are, i.e. terrible and very rarely show anything that's actually in the game? Now, I think there are two types of ads that might come to mind. There is the one from like 10 years ago where it's like some like fantasy thing and there's like a very sexy lady. And then the game itself is like an RTS. But now there's the like TikTok ad where it's just endless runners where you keep collecting hundreds of people by using the power of math and then you get to a finish line. But then the game isn't that.
No.
Yeah, this is I messed up my algorithm at some point. I get a lot of these on Facebook and like usually sound sort of like Eastern European. And it's always like about how much power that you got while you were not playing the game. And there's usually like some sort of exclusive, like you're trying to get into a party because you have a 5 million power, you know, chrono dragon. And then somebody inevitably comes up who looks like just a regular Joe. He's like, I have 10 million power, blue dragon. Like, how? It's like, cause I'm playing this game. And sometimes the audio is dubbed over because like the name of the game has changed or something. And I'm playing this game. It gives you bunches of power for while you're not playing. It's like
whole bunches. Great.
To answer the question though of how did mobile game ads get this way? Unfortunately, they got this way because human beings click on those ads. I wish that wasn't the case, but people would not be running ads that were not effective for resulting in people clicking and then installing the game. So humans are to blame in this scenario. Sorry.
I do love, there's some game And it's like one of those games where you have to like slide the bar out so that the gold falls onto the hero, but doesn't hit the lava and the monster can't get free or else it'll kill it. And I saw an ad for a game that was that, and it was like, are you tired of seeing ads for games like this? But then when you download the game, it's not like this at all. Well, this game is exactly this.
I found the real one. I found the real one of these games. Then you go to the reviews for the games, and they're like, it is not this. It is an RTS. Please do not do this.
I will say that there is a YouTube video that I saw where somebody tries to actually turn one of those fake game ads into a game, one of like, just keep multiplying your characters, Endless Runners, and it's by a YouTube creator called Fat Dino, and the video is, I turned fake mobile game ad into a real game. I will say this, haven't watched everything on their channel, same caveat I put for anything on YouTube, no idea, I neither endorse nor deny this person, but the video I think is pretty interesting. Next question, this one is from Christian. Do you guys still aim for achievements trophies like folks did back in the mid-late aughts? How much effort will you put in for them, and what's the most time you've spent on one lately? Fresh, you are the person that I'm curious about with this, because I think of you as an official achievement hunter, but now you also are a official dad.
That's true.
He's unlocked the ultimate achievement.
Indeed. I have not specifically gone for achievements or trophies since becoming a father, or really it was definitely winding down over the last 5 years or so. I do it. There's really only a few scenarios where I go for them. Usually it's like, I beat the game, I'll look at the trophy list or achievement list and see what's left and whether there are things that I think I could do and whether they'd be grindy or fun or miserable and stuff like that. And if it seems like something where if I play for like 3 or 4 hours and I enjoy myself doing those things, I will probably go for it. But again, I haven't done it. I went on like a weird streak of platinum trophies like a year or two ago. And haven't since, but I only, for what it's worth, do it for games that I enjoy. I've never done it for a game that's like Naruto 2 Shibuya that got terrible reviews, but you can get the platinum in 3 minutes. Not for me.
I will only do it with games I really, really like, and typically it's like a FromSoft game.
I'll do it for those.
A million hours with anyway. And if I beat the game and like there's just a handful of achievements left to unlock, it gives me a reason to play the game, which I already wanted to do. That's like the only scenario in which I will do it. Otherwise, I could not give.
Yeah, in a while, there's a game that uses them. Interestingly, Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe recently has some that are that, you know, the game is actively commenting on. And that is very cool. And interesting, but I do feel like the zeitgeist has kind of moved past. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't thought about an achievement since like 2009. They stress me out.
Used to be a thing though.
Definitely.
That score used to really prove the air game.
Wait for this next question.
This one's from Drew. What needs to be in the Dreamcast?
It's from Drew Davenport. Classic. Like, don't put shame on his name. It's Drew Davenport.
Okay. At the Davenporter.
Now you've doxed him. Okay, what's your question?
What needs to be in the Dreamcast Classic? Deep cuts welcome.
Is this a real thing, or is this a fever dream?
Probably a fever dream. Okay. I believe that they're actually releasing the Sega Genesis Mini 2.
Oh, boy.
Rather than releasing a Dreamcast.
Probably what this is spinning off is there was like a lot of, yay, that this was going to be something that was going to be announced during the past E3 week. It did not.
I mean, obvious stuff, Soul Calibur, Shenmue, Crazy Taxi, Power Stone 2, Jet Set Radio.
Those are the obvious ones.
So those are the obvious
what ones. Skies of Arcadia. I think that's the other
Skies of Arcadia would be dope as hell. I would be heartbroken if something like this happened and it didn't include Phantasy Star Online with some amount of online multiplayer. That would be, I would fucking love that.
Sounds like you will be so heartbroken. Wildly expensive to do.
I actually don't.
Seaman probably won't happen, and that's my favorite Dreamcast game.
Which one?
Seaman. I don't know. You could probably figure it out, but they're not going to put the work in.
What if they did that and they released Seaman 2? Because that game is like done, right? Didn't they make the mobile games just
it
like...
It came out in Japan.
Wait, then is it Seaman 3? I know that they made an iOS game that's like effectively complete and then just never got to release
Seaboy.
Seaboy.
So the Sonic games, Space Channel 5 would be...
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
I would say Choo Choo Rocket, but Choo Choo Rocket, I think there is an iOS Choo Choo Rocket game. There have been a lot of those.
My deep cuts would be Zombie Revenge, Bangaio. Yeah, Choo Choo Rocket, definitely. Project Justice, Ikaruga. I mean, like, there's what was some great games that came out on other systems. Rez.
Was it Toy Soldier? Not Toy Soldier.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like
Toy Commander?
Oh, what was...
Toy Commander. Maybe that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, that
I would
great.
Also say...
Yeah, that was a cool
my
one.
My favorite Dreamcast Deep Cut was a sort of top-down space shooter called Armada. And it was a do you remember this? It was like an RPG twin stick shooter where you had a ship that you could like upgrade, but you would like explore the galaxy, and it had like local multiplayer, and I played the shit out of that game.
That was a cool
it was a really good one.
Man, what a great
console. There's so many Dreamcast games that I would love to get my hands on a little tiny little system like this.
And we didn't even talk about fishing.
Sega Bass Fishing, Virtua Tennis. There's like genuinely good sort of sport games on there too.
It's like the only sport games I ever really played much because the online connectivity was sort of it as like very early stages with those 2K games. Like some of the earliest ones that you could like play online with people was just such a novelty to get my ass handed to me by some from Colorado.
Marvel versus Capcom 2 would be super dope, but also I think that I don't know that there's any way they can license all that shit again for a new tiny console.
Yeah, Marvel's very chill about that. I'm sure it would all be okay. Right. This one's from Ian. Do you use any app or list to keep track of your backlogs? Or would that be too stress-inducing?
That sounds like a Chris Plant thing.
I do that on Letterboxd for movies just so I have an idea of what I want to watch because it saves me from like endlessly scrolling, right? But games, you play them for so much longer than a movie that like, I don't know, I guess I kind of have like a backlog folder in Steam, but...
It also helps that there's the backstop of Game of the Year discussion. So usually if there's anything that like really made an impact... We will get around to it because we kind of have to.
Sure. Mm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have a quick... I have gotten in the habit of wishlisting stuff on Steam.
Yeah, that...
If it's not out yet, if it just, like, sounds interesting. And I have a little list of, like, when I hear about a passing thing that I... Like, usually if it's on a podcast and I'm, like, walking around listening to it, I'm like, that sounds cool, I'll add it to this little list I have on my phone. But, I mean, it's not something that I don't know. I don't fixate on it too much. I kind of feel like if it's something that'll really click with me, it'll probably bubble back up, or it won't, and I won't die.
For what it's worth, that's what I do when I do karaoke and I hear someone else sing a song that gets a big crowd reaction. I will write that down.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you put in your
spreadsheet. I've seen this list.
That is
in
true.
Person.
I think I have too.
Yeah, that's good. Last question. This is from Knight.
Knight of the woeful countenance.
Are you afraid that someone's going to see?
Hail, Knight of the woeful countenance. Knight of the woeful countenance.
What is the long shot, pie in the sky, dead franchise that you could revive with a magic wish on the modern platform of your choice?
Ooh. Okay, wait. To clarify for ourselves, is this, it would do well, or I just
You just want it.
I just want it.
Okay.
I mean, my answer is both. My answer is both, and it is profound to me that this series has not at least seen some sort of remaster or something, but I would flip shit if they announced a Dark Cloud 3.
Mm.
Dark Cloud 1 and 2 are two of my favorite games of all time. If you have, if you've never played them and you have a PS4 or PS5, I think you can get it on the PlayStation Network store, and those games are beautiful and have a really cool vibe and like a town building element, and in Dark Cloud 2, you go through a dungeon and then you beat it and then it turns into a golf course. It's the best fucking game that I cannot believe they have not done anything with, especially level 5. Like, level 5 is doing great and is making, like, a bunch of really... They're one of my favorite developers, but, like, man, level 5, you got to bring it back, man. Those games, it's time.
Man, this is, you know, tough. I was going to say ActRaiser, but that just recently got remade, and I really dislike the remake, so I am now, like, really torn about it. It, like, kind of spoiled it in my mouth a little bit.
Split genre games like that, I really wish we had spent more time. What's the one, Griff, do you remember the one that was like half RTS, half first person shooter?
Oh.
Savage? Where was it called Savage?
Savage.
Wait, I think it was like called Savage.
One person would be doing commanding, like would be commanding the forces, and you would see the orders on your HUD come up like,
It was called Savage. Battle for New Earth.
That's not the one that I would bring back, but it was a really cool idea.
It was a very cool game.
Black and White.
Mine would probably be
Black and White.
Actually, that's weird. I was just thinking about that. That one's so fun.
You should explain what that game is, because I think
Justin, you want to do it?
Yeah.
No, I want you to do it. It's Peter Molyneux, like God game.
At his best.
Yeah, at his best. But it was like a sort of whimsical take on the God game. If I remember correctly, you had like your avatar in the world was like a big, like
animal, the baby monster, like a giant ape or a giant, you know, you could pick, I think, a giant sheep, something like that. And it would sort of do. Yeah. So if you like fed a bunch of people, it would watch you feeding people and then it would start feeding people. But if you were a dick to people and like threw them over the mountains, it would also do that and think that was funny. So you were kind of raising this baby monster to be yourself.
God, that really
it was a wild, I mean, there were two of them and they were both fucking wild, but it's basically been dormant and dead for 20 years at this point.
I would
much like Peter Molyneux himself.
I would play that game for very long stretches where all I would do is pick people up with my God hand and throw them.
Yeah.
And they would, and the animation was very satisfying every time to watch.
They ragdoll.
Is God hand the game that you're picking?
Yeah, God hand is the one I would bring back. Yeah.
Mine would be Power Stone. I was going to say Bushido Blade. That feels even too niche, even by my needs, because nobody would want to play it with me at this point. But Power Stone, I can't believe that series is not alive and well, because it feels like with how popular Smash Brothers is, I know they're very different games, but it feels like it would have an audience.
Have a huge audience, man.
I really don't get why that series is not out there. And so much of that game is like, I mean, at the time it was called like open world fighting. Now that would seem very quaint, but these like huge open 3D environments, that would be so interesting with what like modern consoles can actually pull off.
I haven't played it, but there is a game, a free-to-play game called Rumbleverse, which I don't think is out yet, but does seem to have a similar energy to it with like a little of, dash of Fortnite.
Yeah, I would say it is Fortnite with a dash of Power Stone.
Yeah.
I don't know if you... Okay, my Dragon's Dogma would be my answer, but it's not necessarily a franchise because it was only one of them.
Did you not see the news? The sequel's in production.
Whatever. I'm not actually going to go down that road with y'all again. It's not happening.
They just announced it like 2 days ago.
Yeah, I'm just definitely coming out. It'll definitely exist. Just like Deep Down, right? It's like Deep Down. Mine would be the Legacy of Kain franchise.
Good mailbag, Chris Plant. Well done.
Thank you. Do you want to do some honorable mentions?
Oh, man, I have so many.
Fresh, you have so many games. This is too many games.
I've been playing two service living games free to play. One of them is Fall Guys, which I've talked about quite a bit. It is now officially free to play. So if you have a Switch, an Xbox, a PlayStation, a PC, any of those, it will run. I traditionally put it on PC over Steam. You can't buy it on Steam anymore. It is on EGS, but it's free. But I played it last night on Switch. And even though it is obviously a downgrade from a visual standpoint, it's still extremely playable. and fun, and it kind of fits perfectly with the tone of Fall Guys, which is like light 10-minute rounds, fuck around, have a good time, good stuff. So if you've never played Fall Guys, check it out. It is basically that ABC TV show Knockout. Is that what it's called?
Wipeout.
It's basically Wipeout, and you bounce around, and you can make like custom games with friends, and so you know you get the right maps and all that stuff. I think they've done a really good job with that game. I've also been playing a ton of Fortnite. What else is new? It's been a very good season. They just added the grapple glove, which is basically like Spider-Man swinging is back again. Darth Vader.
You exactly called that to me, the way, hilariously. You 100% called that exactly that would happen to me several months back. Oh, yeah,
unquestionably.
Like, and they'll put a, when it disappeared, you were like, oh, yeah, they'll put in like a grapple glove. Like something like that. Like you really 100% nailed
it. Yeah, fucking Darth Vader lands on the island now, and you can like go up to him and have like a little Darth Vader battle with him. Like such a weird, crazy game, but it's been fun.
I am still playing through Yakuza 0. I've made it to the Goro Majima section, which is still quite early in the game, but since I'm just enjoying it at a slow pace, feels good to play a game that is not out this year and not like a game of the year contender and just something. Just playing it because I
what
like
is
it.
Goro Majima? I don't know what that is.
That is like the dude with character. The eye patch.
Yeah.
Oh.
You probably have seen him in the art.
Yeah.
He's a great character. He has a baseball bat. The other thing that I will mention is Neon White, which is maybe the most Chris Plant game of the year.
But we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that on the Resties next.
Okay. I saw you playing that on whatever platform you were playing it. And then I was like, what is that game? Because I've heard some people talk about it. And I Googled it, and I was like, oh, it's a Chris Plant game.
Yeah.
It's a Chris Plant game for Chris Plants. All the Chris Plants out there.
We will do a full deep dive in what that is exactly on Tuesday.
I've been playing through Pokemon Shield with Henry and really, really getting into it. I played through Sword when I first experienced it. And, you know, it's the same game, but it's been a while since that came out. And it's getting me excited for the new ones that are coming out this year, supposedly. But the one I've really been playing is Rogue Legacy 2. I got my Steam Deck a couple of weeks ago, and we just went on tour. And I was really excited, and I downloaded like all these games to play on the plane on my Steam Deck. And I just wanted to play Rogue Legacy 2. I beat it, and the way that this game handles New Game Plus is like diabolical, where you can basically every time you beat the game, you toss these modifiers onto the pile to start over in New Game Plus. Like you can increase, like, it's so granular, like increase enemy projectile speed or increase the chance that an enemy will spawn in like a commander super strong mode or increase the size of the maps. And so you sort of like build your own New Game Plus and then hop into it. And there's like new gear that you can only find in like certain New Game Plus layers. But man, once you like reach a point where you have like a good build, and you have like the armor that you really like, and you feel like you can beat a whole run in like a single character, that game is very, very hard to put down. And yeah. I was not expecting to like enjoy it more well after beating it than I was even on my first run through.
But yeah, that was, yeah. For me, the first one was similar, where like once I had like a build figured out, it like really felt very satisfying. It feels like this one gives you way more options and tools like how to make that build. I also didn't realize that you could eventually unlock the ability to lock one of the slots in your heirs, so like of the characters you pick before each round, to a specific class and even what their magic is. So you'll still have to deal with traits and very like color blindness, whatever, but feels like it gives you a lot more control over the like beat by beat and takes some of the randomness out, but there's still obviously random level generation and enemies and all that stuff.
It's fantastic. It is climbing the list of my favorite games of the year.
Yeah, it's
which
definitely
is surprising
on my list
just because
well.
I was very cool on it when it was in early access. But I think it kicks ass and is perfect for Steam Deck. It is like the one I would recommend to everybody as soon as they get theirs.
Yes.
I've been playing a lot of Rogue Legacy 2 as well. It's a very good game. But I played something kind of interesting on iPad, and like everybody's gonna roll their eyes, but I think it's kind of cool. It's called Five Dates, and it is a FMV dating game, if you will. But the like it's set in like a COVID era, right? So it's very almost sort of like diegetic, like you're in the lockdown and people talk about that, and like you're video dating, you're a guy who's gonna start trying to video date to meet people and to alleviate the boredom of whatever. But you choose the people that you want to go on dates with, and then it plays out in a format that is not that revolutionary for an FMV game like this. It's basically like branching dialogue, like someone asks you a question or you ask the other person a question. It's very typical like date type stuff. But what is interesting about it is that it is not like you're not trying to win. It's not a like say the right things and the person will like you, right? Like it is very much more of it feels much more like an interactive film in that regard, where it's like, this is how I've chosen to respond to this question, and you see how the person like responds to it. And you're not getting points. You're not like, oh, they'll remember that or they'll like you more. It's very much just like how the conversation plays out. So the only incentive for answering anything other than honesty is like, you know, there's no reason to answer anything other than like what you want to see what the other person is going to say or how they would feel about a certain thing or whatever. So you're not trying to win as much as just like you just have these interesting conversations. It's very, very well performed. It's very naturalistic. Like it feels like you're watching two people have a very natural conversation. You have a friend that you like check in with between dates to tell them like how you think it's going and how it went. From that perspective, it's like very interesting. It wouldn't be good if the performances weren't good and the writing wasn't good, because you know there's not like a lot of game, quote unquote, gameplay here. But it actually also goes some like interesting places. Like characters ask you about your like if you've ever experimented with your sexuality, or one of the characters has a panic attack, and you have to like decide how you're going to respond to that. And if you want to continue, like how you continue that relationship, et cetera. But it's a really interesting thing. It's also it's Wales Interactive, which has done a lot of these sort of interesting FMV experiments. But it's on iPad, so you can just play it on your iPad. I think it's like $5.
Yeah, it's on Steam as well. Yeah,
the usual channels. Right now if you would like this or not. But there's no fast forward button for dialogue or anything like that, and I wasn't really looking for one because the interactions are like very convincing and charming, and I don't know, it was a very interesting little thing.
Cool. I think that about does it. Lots of games were discussed. I wanted to thank the following people for writing reviews for the besties: Just a Toad, Dutch of Class, Fat for All, and Good Vibes Jay. Thank you for writing reviews for the besties on Apple Podcasts. Thank you to everyone else who has talked about the show or written reviews or, you know, spread the good word of the besties and its club of video games. We appreciate it.
This week we talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. We answered a ton of questions and mentioned a lot of Dreamcast games. Fresh brought Fall Guys.
Like every episode of the
Fresh brought Fall Guys and Fortnite. I brought Yakuza 0 and Neon White. Griffin bought Rogue Legacy 2 and Pokemon Shield. And Justin brought Five Dates.
It's true.
And next week, we're going to talk about The Quarry.
Yeah, The Quarry, which is a supermassive game. So if you like story, check out The Quarry. You won't be sorry.
Oh, boy.
That is going to do it for us this week. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy. Be sure to join us again next week for the besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
besties.